Mental freedom, man. That shit is the key, man. Do what you want. I realized that, like, the basketball stuff wouldn't bring me, like, the happiness that I was really actually searching for. So, you know, I just stuck with to my roots, my childhood roots, and that was fashion and creativity stuff. So.
What's up, guys, and welcome to 83 of the Work in Progress podcast. I'm your host, Tiffany Parra, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to this week's episode with Jordan Dilwood. It's a super good one. So he started off in fashion at a very early age. At about 11 or 12, he already had his own fashion blog and was even doing influencer marketing before it was really a thing. Now Jordan is still working in fashion and more creative direction for up-and-coming artists and really building out his own media team. So it's really exciting to see what Jordan's up to now. He says that a lot of people don't actually know what he does. And I'll be honest, before we jumped on this podcast, I was one of those people. But after this episode, I got a better understanding of who Jordan was and what he's currently working on. And I'm really excited to see where he goes. So make sure to tune into this week's episode and give Jordan a follow on his Instagram. It's Lord Dilwood. It will be in the show notes below. And let me know what you think of this week's episode by DMing me, Tiffany Parra _ on Instagram. Peace, guys.
Spent on a given platform.
I think my one piece of advice, especially for young people, is just like every day try and figure out how the world works.
Compared to changing the future of somebody and doing it for the greater good.
That is, in my opinion, the best idea I've ever come up with.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Work in Progress podcast. Today, I'm with Jordan Dilwood. Super excited to have him on the podcast today and learn a little bit more about him and what he's been doing. So, Dilwood, I try to do some research on you. I know there's not a ton out there, so I'm going into this podcast with definitely an open mind and very excited to learn a little bit more about you. So awesome. Can you kind of give it intro or kind of keep people up to date with what you've been up to, I guess?
So my name is Jordan, but most people call me Dilwood. That's my last name. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and currently moved to LA like 2 years ago. Came out here to start like my own fashion line. Started kind of like diving in that realm of things, and then ended up diving into a media side, so like digital marketing, content curation, creative direction for, you know, artists and brands. So that's kind of where we're at now, and yeah, it's been a journey so far. So
that's so cool. So I guess like taking it way back to like growing up in Atlanta, what was that like, were you like into as a kid, were you into like art type of stuff or
I would say like 10 or 11. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this like platform before like Tumblr, there was Blogspot. So I went and started my own like little fashion Blogspot when I was like 11, 12. And I would like talk about like Dior and fashion shows and like all this stuff, just everything that I just wanted to like, you know, talk about in regards to fashion. I would put it out on this, you know, this page. And then it started picking up a little bit of traction. And, you know, I would have brands send me clothes and I would take pictures in them. And like, this is at 12, 13, like my mom and sisters would be taking my pictures. So it's like really weird. And I was like, oh, dang, there's like really something out here in the realm of like this, just like digital and creative side. So I've been sparked with this from like a very, very young age. So
that's so cool. So I guess like even before that, then like what at 10 or 11 made you want to like go get into like Dior and stuff? Because I don't even think like social media was a thing back then, so yeah, I'm sure like access to that kind of information wasn't like how it is now, where like little kids can just follow like ASAP Rocky and then see that stuff. So like how did you even initially get into fashion?
So basically there was this show on MTV, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, it was called Run's House, and Diggy, the kid on this show, he used to like kind of like, we would wear a lot of the same clothes, and I thought that was really weird. I was like, you know, I don't even know this kid. So I started like kind of following him a little bit more just in regards to like the show, and he had a blog. So I would see like stuff on his, and then like he would post like stuff because, you know, he lived in New York or Jersey or something like that. So he's introduced to that life, knows that life of fashion and stuff. And I reached out to him on the blog stuff. He kind of gave me, you know, some like a little advice and stuff. And then I started my blog, and yeah, that's how I got actually introduced to a higher fashion, was by Diggy Simmons, which is pretty funny now that I think about it. I've never actually thought about it till now. So, but yeah, shout out Diggy.
That's so cool. Yeah, I remember watching Run's House too as a kid. Yeah, that's so funny. And I do remember, yeah, I think he would talk about his blog in the show or like something. Yeah, and then didn't he come out with his own clothing line?
Yeah, he ended up making his own brand. It was called like Chivalrous Culture, because he ended up sending me like DMs. I put it on my page. Like at that point, like my page started getting like a little bit better. So he had sent it to me, and I posted it for him and stuff. But he made his own shoe, and that was like really, really dope. And that, like, once he, when he made his own shoe, that kind of was really, I was like, what the fuck? Because like, I was like, we would think we were like 15, like 15, 16. So I saw, I was like, whoa, there's something so much bigger out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I can, if he can go do this, there's, I could definitely find a way too. So that's what kind of sparked it for sure. Definitely.
That's so cool. And I guess like being in Atlanta, was the, like, were you like the only kid that was into fashion out of your friends?
Oh, hell yeah. For sure. For sure. Like, it was, I was always one that like stood out like a sore thumb with the outfits. It was never kind of really a thing, because I played basketball too. Like if you Google me, that's what pops up, is basketball stuff. But yeah, so being in that kind of like sports community, but having such a strong fashion sense, it was like completely the like hardest thing growing up, having to always like fight, you know, for like outfits and stuff like that. But yeah, for some reason, I just kind of never, you know, I didn't care enough to like stop, so.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah. So you said that it was like a hardest thing. Like, what do you mean by that? Was it just hard in the sense that like you were like fighting between these like two worlds, or like was it like the perception of other people?
I mean, actual like physically really fighting, because like you gotta realize, like as a black kid growing up in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying, wearing stuff like that, like that is just not how it goes, you know what I'm saying? So you gotta fight for just, you know, everything, you know. And because people just think that they can try you and, you know, you look a certain way, and I'm like, no, I'm not that person. So, but that, and then also in a mental sense, you know, of fighting both worlds of like, dang, like, do I want to do this sports thing, or like really take this creative thing to the, you know, next level? Because that was a for sure pass. It was like, all right, cool. You know, you're going to do this, 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 and this. This creative stuff, as you know, is just completely, like, you know, we can't really, you know, gauge it, where it's going to go. So, that battle in itself was really hard, but I'm glad I picked the side that I picked, because now I'm happy. So
yeah, you know, for sure. And I guess like leading up to that crossroads, like, you know, you said you played basketball, like were you pretty serious about basketball at the time?
Really intense, like really intense, like 5 a.m. workouts, regular basketball practice and workouts again after, kind of anything that I ever have like dove into, I go like 110% into it. I don't like being like the normal one, and like if there's a group of something or we're doing something, I need to be the best at it. So I kind of just take that approach with everything that I do. So yeah, I was really intense with basketball. I was like very, very like my life.
That's crazy. Yeah. So in high school, were you like thinking about doing like basketball afterward?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I had colleges come to my school all the time. I got recruited by like Stanford, a lot of those kind of schools, because I had good grades. So when they offered me like scholarships to go to school, and then like when senior year came around and I declined them, like everybody around me was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you know, you're not gonna go and do that. But I was like, nah. And it's crazy, because that season when I decided to do that, I decided that I wasn't gonna continue it after high school, like maybe midway through the senior season, and that was probably like one of my best seasons I ever had. So I think mental freedom, man, that shit is the key, man. Do what you want. I realized that like the basketball stuff wouldn't bring me like the happiness that I was really actually searching for, so you know, I just stuck with to my roots, my childhood roots, and that was fashion and creativity stuff. So
And at the time, so you said you started the blog at like 10 or 11 or 11 or 12
whenever
years old.
2008 was, so I was like 12. So like if you could probably still look it up now, it's lifeofjdillwood.blogspot.com. And yeah, you could literally see I was talking about like Christian Louboutin, Dior, all that stuff, like way before it was even a thing and popular, you know, with the date stamps, motherfucker.
The proof.
You
the
feel
proof
me?
Is
but
right there.
Yeah, so that's kind of, that's my hub. That's where it all started. The pink started there too. So even if you go there, you'll see my whole page was magented out, and this was 2008. So I've kind of been on this little consistent wave for a while now, just quietly. Now it's public, I guess. Trying to make it public.
Yeah, for sure. And then Yeah, so I guess starting the blog that early, like you said, brands and stuff were sending you clothes. I guess, like, how did that trickle into high school as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, the only reason brands were sending me clothes, my mom couldn't afford a lot of the stuff that I wanted to start wearing. Mm-hmm. Now that I was aware of high-end fashion, now obviously I want it. But growing up like that, she couldn't afford that stuff. So that's how they would send me stuff. Because I was kind of like, you know, trading off. Like, I'm giving you something, you're giving me something. I was getting you in front of a new audience. And this was before, like, influencer marketing, any of this shit.
Like, so, like, marketing.
Literally. So, like, now when I look at it, I'm like, holy, that's what it was. But back then, I'm like, my mom can't afford the clothes. I have a dope blog. I can take pictures on my blog, send me your clothes, blah, 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 and it'll be like a relationship trade-off. So, you know, it's crazy that now it's a whole thing, business, you know, that we've kind of curated and grew up and started with. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's really weird to see where we're at now. But, yeah, going into high school with that... Yeah, that was weird because at that point I kind of started to like slowly decline from the blog. Mm. And I was like, I want to bring this from the blog into real life. Mm. So I was like, let me start my own brand now. So that's when I started getting into the whole like actually making of clothes and making a clothing line. And like that's when that started, like, you know, kind of got off the like internet stuff a little bit. But that was high school. So.
Okay, cool. So then I guess like making your own clothes and all that stuff, like, were you just like testing out different garments, like sewing them together?
Yeah. So my first, I feel like anybody, like everybody's first garments or stuff that they did is obviously a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? So I had a design that I wanted to do, had t-shirts, went down to this place in Atlanta called Little Five Points, got the shirts printed up. It was called Black Gold. That was the name of the brand. And it was like dripping, whatever. It's cool. It's a cool ass shirt. And I went, I just sold them at the school. I went and sold them and I did like $2,000 at the school with my t-shirt. So I was like, damn, there's actually something here.
That's a lot of money in high school. And
as a sophomore in high school, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy. So that kind of really, really opened my eyes to like just the possibilities. Obviously still sophomore year, basketball was my, you know, main thing, but that really like got the bug going, you know, for real. And then after that, after the t-shirts, I was like, oh, this is like kind of childish. Like, you know, like as you do things, like you grow, you know, and you're like, as you like learn more things, you just are like, oh, so I get over stuff really fast. I was like, okay, the t-shirts were cool, but I'm like, now what's next? Like, what can I do next? Like, I want to really learn how to make clothes. So I hired a seamstress. I like scraped up some money together, hired a seamstress, and sat down and went through the process of like making a button-up shirt with like houndstooth cufflinks and stuff. So that was like the first garment I ever made, and then from then on the rest was history. I was like, I had the bug. I was like, I'm calling manufacturers, I'm figuring out this whole system, got a mentor, like it was a whole thing. So
that's so sick. Okay, cool. So I said, like, it sounds like you were still tied between these two worlds in high school of like fashion and basketball.
Yeah.
So after the seamstress, like at what point, like, is this like grade, is this like your junior year?
Yeah, like junior year.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. Yeah, so junior year, it sounds like you really got the bug for fashion and then had to start making decisions as far as like basketball and college.
Exactly.
So was that a hard decision for you as far as like not going to college and then pursuing fashion and more creative realm?
In a sense, like for me personally, I don't think it was that hard, you know, because I did it, but I think it was more so harder for me to deal with the loved ones and people around me, because you got to realize, like, when you get to a certain point with the basketball thing, like for years of my life they put money into it, time into it, traveled, you know, so you think this is something that your kid's gonna do, and then when they just completely don't do it, they're just like, and then you're like, oh, I'm gonna go do this fashion stuff. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? So personally for me it was an easy decision, but like dealing with the day-to-day and everybody else and all of that, that was the hard part. That was the hard part, because obviously at that age, you know, you don't have that like fuck you attitude. Like, you still want, you know, your parents to be happy with what you're doing and all that stuff. So that was hard, because me and my dad didn't have a relationship for a while because of that, you know what I'm saying? So there's that. But now, you know, that I'm doing what I'm doing and it's, you know, working out, it's getting better. So it's cool.
That's dope. Yeah. Super cool. So, yeah, you decided to, like, I guess, like, pull the plug on basketball or not, like, take it too seriously after that. I guess, what was your plan heading into, like, graduation? Because, you know, you kind of had already, I guess, realized that basketball wasn't going to be the thing that you were going to do into college. And so, like, what was your next step, I guess? Were you thinking, like, to start your own brand and try and do that full time?
Yeah. So, I still actually ended up going to in-state school my freshman year of college because I was like, all right, I'm not going to play basketball, but all my friends were going to this school at Georgia State. That was the school I went to. So I was like, why not, you know, like freshman year, go to school with my friends and then just focus on the brand stuff the whole time. Went there, went to class, shit was lame. I was like, the same stuff I'm learning in high school, they're trying to teach me here. So I was like, not doing that. I couldn't even learn like specific stuff until like junior or senior year, and I was not with spending all that money. So I ended up leaving because I got a job for what I was going to school for, which was merchandise marketing at Bloomingdale's. I ended up doing that. So my plan after high school wasn't really necessarily a plan. It was just like go to college, kind of like use the resources that are there, you know, and just, I don't know. I didn't really, actually didn't have like a precise plan. And it's really weird because like everything just played itself out. It worked itself out. Like all of my friends, we all kind of ran the creative culture realm of Atlanta. Like I grew up with like Playboi Carti, Yachty and all them, Nestle. We all literally, that hub of people, that was our group of friends. So I kind of just came up in a special time that has their hand on the culture right now. So it just kind of like helped in whatever endeavor I wanted to do, like, you know, after that. So
yeah,
it's kind of the, that was kind of the direction after high school.
That makes sense. I mean, no one has a plan after high school. So yeah, no one has a plan after high school. I feel like that's why most people go into colleges, because they don't have a plan.
Exactly right.
So yeah, you do freshman year, I guess you weren't about it. And then it sounds like you said you got a job and a mentor. Yeah. So when did you pick up this mentor and how did the job come about?
Yeah, so it's crazy. They actually came about because of the same person. So I use like, if you see my Instagram or whatever, it's like really creative. It's always been that way. My mentor reached out to me via DM and I went and saw his page and like he owns his own luxury eyewear line out in Atlanta, but it's Italian based. And they're like in all of the major like luxury stores in Atlanta, and I was like, oh, that's like super dope. You're like black and you do that, like what the hell? Because, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, like after high school, I was just on this hunt for like knowledge and learning, like, okay, so if I'm gonna do this like creative stuff, there's got to be some kind of answers how to like make this a life, you know what I mean? So when I saw somebody like that who, you know, was basically kind of living the life that I wanted to live and then look like me too, I was like, oh, why not? So I reached out to him and he DM'd me back and it was crazy. Like the next day he sent me like a fucking black card to my dorm. And then I went and had drinks with him at this expensive ass hotel in Atlanta. And we just kind of like hit it off from there. And he just taught me everything that I know in regards to like manufacturing, business, like that kind of stuff. And then he put me on with my job at Bloomingdale's. And I was like, I'm going to school for what you just gave me a job. Cause he knew somebody there at Bloomingdale's. And I was like, oh. So that just really kind of opened up my world, like my mind to like the real world. And I was like, okay, at the end of the day, most of this stuff is like who you know, how to utilize your resources. And it's just like, you know, it's kind of like a shark world, you know, you're going to just like really, you know, eat or be eaten. So
yeah,
that's kind of my approach with it. But yeah, that's how I met him. It was pretty dope.
That's really cool. So I guess the job at Bloomingdale's was, I guess, two things. So it sounds like you went to college and then you didn't play basketball. So was dropping out of college, was that even harder too?
Oh no, that was super easy. That was really? Even easier. That was super easy. I was literally in class watching like Pharrell videos and all that shit. Like it was not happening. And then the reason it was easy was because what I was going to school for is what I got a job at Bloomingdale's for. So it was like, what am I? I'm going to give three more years of money to you guys. And I got the job that I would have needed to go and get. So that kind of opened up my mind a lot too, because I was like, wow, it's not even a credential thing. Like I went and interviewed with this person and they fucked with me off of just talking to me, like not a piece of paper. So yeah, I was like, fuck this. I was like, I was out. And all my friends, like, it's crazy. Like, Digital Nas, some of you guys probably know him. He's a big producer or whatever for, like, Rocky and Yachty and all them. He was literally actually the first person that was like, oh, Woody, don't do that. Don't do that shit. Like, you're going to be finessed when you get, have, like, business meetings and stuff. How are you going to know, like, what's going on? And I was like, fuck this shit. I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it was funny because, like, a year later, he did the same thing. Now he signed to Warner and doing all these amazing, great things. So, yeah, I just learned you got to take that leap. You got to believe in yourself and just take that leap. Like, fuck it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then as far as your job, like, doing merchandising at Bloomingdale's, what did that entail and, like, how, like, what was your time spent there like?
It was cool. I mean, I was there for, like, a year and a half. And I was in the men's shoe wear, like, the shoe department. So, basically, I would go through, like, all of our designers' catalogs. And then I would go and kind of, like, pick stuff from the seasons that, like, we would think that would sell best. Because, yeah, like, you're a department store. So based on your, you know, demographic is going to, like, have certain things that sell better than, you know, other things. So I also learned a lot there, you know, from that aspect on, like, how to run a major company, you know, because I was, like, such a small piece of it and saw, like, how stuff moved. But that was really cool. And the interaction with, like, high-end clients, you know, being able to have that relationship with them, shop with them personally, that was really dope. And yeah, I mean, that was, I learned a lot from there. Honestly, I did. But it was, that shit was boring. Like, it was so boring. That was what was crazy too, because I was like, damn, what if I went to school for 4 years, got this job, just to find out a year and a half later that this was not what I wanted to do, you know? So yeah, it was all a blessing in disguise. Everything all happened in the right time, you know? I was lucky enough to just be aware of it, so.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I guess you said you were there for a year and a half. Like, after you left, like, what was your next move after that?
Oh, had no plan. That was like, so that was like, that time, like, after Bloomingdale's, it was like a year or 2 years of just quiet, figuring it out, learning, reached out to as many, like, you know, different manufacturers. Like, I just learned so much about actual process of running a business, making garments and stuff like that. I wasn't actually necessarily running things, but I, like, was just feeding myself this knowledge, you know, via YouTube or books or just different things. And then you know, I just got to a point where I was like, all right, like, this is getting stagnant, you're not doing anything, like, what are we gonna do? So then I moved to LA and the rest is history. So.
Wow.
Honestly, yeah.
That's crazy. I guess I didn't. I honestly have no idea how old you are. So I was like, I thought there was like a couple years in the mix in there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But we're coming into the present already. I love it.
Yeah, I'm
okay,
23.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm 23.
Okay.
So
I'm 23 too.
Oh, we perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
I for sure thought. I thought you were like 25, 26.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I really hope I don't look that old. That's so bad.
No, definitely. That's pretty sick though. So yeah, that's cool that you've already like had that experience, and then it's kind of led you to where you are now, which I know is like different. So I know you mentioned when I first met you, you had come out here to do fashion. Mm-hmm. So was the intention just to move to LA and kind of figure things out as you went along?
Yeah, so I've never had an intention of moving to LA. Like, as you know, with the fashion thing, the place that we would obviously need to be at would be New York. So that was always my place of choice of where I thought I'd end up. So LA just happened by chance because my cousin moved back to Atlanta and I took her spot. So I came out here with the plan of like, all right, cool. I'm going to just strictly go hard with the fashion shit. Like, I'm going to go down to DTLA. I'm going to get garments. Because I know at this point now I know how to do this shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go down there. I'm going to make the resources, you know, meet the right people I need to meet, shoot dope visuals for it, and then just kind of start building this brand. You know what I mean? That was like literally my main focus. So started doing that, went downtown.
Did you have a name for this project?
So it's my last name. It's called Dilwood Ohm. My last name's just kind of always been distinct, and then I put the Ohm on it because, you know, it just kind of ties back to my luxury, you know, ties back in the day. You know, that's kind of where I started, was, you know, luxury fashion. So Dilwood Ohm is the brand, and the basis of it is Where's DH, if you guys have seen that. It's kind of like my thing because everybody kind of never knows what I do.
Yeah,
what
I can say
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
Yeah,
so they're like, either one, it's you're a rapper when they first meet me, or they're like, oh, like, I know you do something creative, but they just don't know what it is. So I kind of built a brand based off of that, based off of people's curiosity of just never knowing what I do. Mm-hmm. So it's called Where's DH, like keep up, because I'm never around. I'm always, you know, running around, always working, always on some different things. So yeah, that was the basis of it. Started that when I came here. And then the crazy thing is there were like certain people who saw what I was doing for myself specifically and wanted me to do it for like them or their artists. And I had never thought about doing that before, but when they started talking about like certain numbers and shit, and I was like, oh wait, like this shit like can pay the bills. Mm-hmm. So I started like, I was like, okay, I'll like help out like on some like freelance shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
and is this mostly like styling or like manufacturing?
So it's styling, production in regards to like photo shoots and stuff. So I have a photographer, but I creative direct. So I like know what people's vision is, know what they're trying to achieve, and then I can help them achieve that through, you know, photos, videos, whatever the case may be, right? So we did that, and then what happened after that? It's so much, it's so fast. yeah, so I do that. I do the styling, the photos, and then also the distribution. You know what I'm saying? So, because like I said, like from back in the day, from like 10, 11 years old, like I didn't realize I was doing something that people would want now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just kind of kept the same formula that I've been doing then, mm-hmm. now. And it started working, started picking up for people. And I was like, oh shit. So I didn't necessarily put my brand on the back burner, but I just kind of was like, I'm going to make a media company, mm-hmm. so I can continue to like do this for people, but not mm-hmm. in a independent contractor sense. I'd rather do it as a business owner, as a company, have everything like, you know, legitimized and be able to kind of like scale this up. Cause then that's the only way that I can like work with like major labels and like do things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy cause that has nothing to do with fashion. The only thing that I deal with fashion is like maybe when I'm styling a client or we're doing something with a photo shoot. But other than that, like I'm answering emails or on the phones, just like handling like logistics stuff. So mm-hmm. It's crazy, but I'm enjoying it right now. I really do love the music industry because that's kind of where I'm in mostly. But now I'm like, as of this year, diving back into my brand simultaneously. So I will be dropping like, you know, a little like merch and stuff probably like at the top of 2020. And yeah, that's what I got going on. But the media company, nice. that's the bread and butter. That's the one. That's what I love.
That's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So like you said, like you just kind of fell into this. Like, was there someone specifically that was like do it? I want you to do this for me. Like your visuals are so sick. Like, I guess who was that first person that kind of sparked that this could even be like a thing that you do for other people?
So yeah, so I went to Coachella for my friend Digital Nas. I went to go shoot a video for him.
Do you shoot video?
Yeah, I don't shoot videos, but for friends and like if I feel the creativity, like if I feel it, mm-hmm. I will do it. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Because like people don't understand like how much goes into shooting a music video. So like me personally, because that's not like my forte, like I have to feel it. I have to know this is exactly the vision for this song. This is like how this should look like, mm-hmm. you know, because then it's effortless. So I went out there to go do that for him, for his new project, because he had just gotten signed with Warner and stuff. And went out there to do that. He was high as hell on shrooms at Coachella somewhere. So we didn't get a chance to like meet up. And I ended up meeting this guy named Jamie Forrester. And he had a pop artist named Shota from Japan. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, we need help with this artist, blah, blah, blah. And he showed me him, and he like looked like this beach boy or whatever. So they were like telling me like the direction they were trying to go with him. So I started like shooting with him more, kind of like helped out his whole direction, styled him too. And then like literally in like 3 months, it was like a 360. He was a totally different person. He started getting like label deals, like you know, people like started wanting to sign him. So everything was kind of like a 360. And like when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, like wow, this like actually worked, you know. So I was like, yeah, I probably can actually do this for other people. And then, you know, just with my like obviously like my ties and stuff with the industry, so I've done stuff with like Yachty. We'll like pull up to like events, like we did stuff with like Quavo, Jaden Smith, like stuff like that, you know, just really kind of being like in tune with the culture. We're like really specific and like where we're around, like, and who we work with, because, you know, as a media company, it's easy to just go get a check. You know, there's a lot of people who want our services, but like, you kind of like have to be careful with that because the message that you portray with the people you work with, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just very specific in how I want to move. I know my vision for, you know, Where's DH, the brand, as well as for Deal With Media. So I kind of want to keep it consistent throughout, you know.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I think that's good that you do that, because it separates you from like a company versus like just being a freelancer,
right?
And like exactly. taking a job. That's really cool. So I guess I even just to like dive a little bit further into like curiosity as to like what mm-hmm. this would entail. So like, let's say I represent an up and coming artist, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, though, what I really need your services. Like what can you like, would you essentially like get the vibe from that person or try and understand like, what are they trying to communicate, and then like restyle them, shoot mm-hmm. video, and then like distribute that on social mm-hmm. as well?
Yeah. So basically what I would do is here. So basically what I do is I have like a consultation meeting mm-hmm. and we'll sit down in that meeting. You'll play me music. Mm-hmm. You'll show me where your page is at currently, and you'll tell me where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. Everybody has like a vision of where they're trying to go. And like, if you, mm-hmm. if I can see where you're currently at and you tell me where you're trying to go, I can realistically tell you yes or no, I can help you or not. Mm-hmm. So if I can help you, the first things first is we kind of like gut out what you've already done and mm-hmm. what like what's not working. So if your page is like got a whole bunch of useless stuff on it, taking it out. And then on top of that, we're going to be like, okay, wardrobe, like, what are you kind of like consistently wearing, you know, and we'll like mix it. And even sometimes people don't have a wardrobe like budget to go buy stuff. So I'll work with what they even have already for like the vision that they want. Then we'll set up shoots. Then I'll like set up shoots for like every month so that, you know, we start to build a consistent look and a consistent aesthetic. Then once that kind of like builds up like that, then it's a distribution thing. Then that's when I hit up J-Rat and it's like, okay, cool. I've built this artist up. He has a consistent aesthetic now. Mm-hmm. Like his story is valid. Like he has a very clear story. We know what he's trying to tell us. Then I go to J-Rat and now what he does is he brings millions of eyes. You know, and so that kind of, that's why we're like, it's like a 1-2 punch. So it's like, I set it up to the point where when those eyes all come, they stick, you know, whereas like, he can't do that. Like he can do that for everybody, but some people like he'll do it for, and they'll be like, oh, well, it's not bringing the traction that I thought it would, blah, blah, blah. And that's because they didn't do this part of it. They didn't make sure that they were ready for that influx of eyes all at that one time. So the content, the consistency, nothing is there. You know, and they're just like running, trying to figure it out with all these new people. So that's what I do. I like help make sure that when all those eyes come and when the right people are looking at your stuff, they know who you are. They know the story you're trying to tell. And it's very, very clear. And then it's like it's easy for them to help you from that point on. So mm-hmm. I kind of help get them there. And then from then on, it's like up to them. Yeah, that's my job.
That's what I do. That's really, really cool. It sounds like a lot of like creative direction then.
Yeah, a lot. Okay. Most of the time, yeah.
That's super sick. So, you know, in terms of like past clients or how you get current clients, you said you're like, you know, kind of picky mm-hmm. on who you work with, which yeah. makes sense because you want to like be in a specific genre of people. Mm-hmm. How has it been for you? Like, is it like right now, do you find like referrals or like people just finding out like, they're just, it's like word of mouth. Yeah, yeah. Like how does that even work in terms of?
So yeah, right now, everything's been like referrals or word of mouth. So like if we just got finished with one client, you know, they'll probably be connected to somebody else. And then, you know, just this LA lifestyle, as you know, have seen like how we've met, just even being in those kind of environments and stuff like that. I've gotten a lot of work off of just being at the right place at the right time, you know, and honestly just being very true. That's what I've learned. I'm honest in my work, very transparent in what I do. And in a city like this where a lot of people kind of like, you know, sugarcoat stuff or just are really like money hungry, it's kind of refreshing to a lot of my clients that they're like, oh shit, like I gave you this, you're updating me, you're telling me this is what's this. Like, hey, they really love that. So I kind of pride myself on that. And yeah, I'm just like, that's kind of my goals is where I'm at with it right now.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's cool because like when I feel like for you, like stepping out of the house, like it's like, yeah, you're always like potentially finding a new client.
Right.
And I guess like that's why you always have to look good.
Literally.
You always
like, gotta look literally. Good. I didn't even think about that. Like until it became a thing. I was like, dang, like
yeah.
most of the people that I caught was like because of like just me. Like I'm like, I am my job. Like mm-hmm. I could be, you know, even when we went to Japan, like I was getting business out there, and that's just like off me being me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I can't afford to be like bummy or like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Cause my work is me at all times. Mm-hmm. Can't help somebody with their creative stuff. They're like, What are you, like,
yeah,
you doing?
Like, what are you wearing?
So yeah, it works itself out, but I enjoy it a lot, honestly.
That's really cool. That sounds like a super fun job. And then as far as the team, I know you said you have a photographer you work closely with, and then J-Rap, who is also on this podcast. So if you don't know who we're talking about, go check out the episode with J-Rap.
My boy.
But yeah, so how has that been? Like, is it just you, J-Rap, and then your photographer, or do you have like a more built out team? And like, what do you?
Yeah, so right now, like, as a consistent main base, it's Jordan. He's my photographer. Marco, he's another photographer, videographer, graphic designer, and then J-Rap. But for certain projects, I mean, for most projects, our small team gets the job done. But like, when I need a little bit more, I do have like other people that I can like outsource. People that I've worked with before, but they're just not a part of my company. So I just kind of like independent contract, like out other people if I need them as need be. But as like a media team, yeah, like that's my team. Like that's who I work with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah,
try
definitely.
Keep it small.
That's cool. You know? No, that's the way to go for sure. And then I know like J-Rap and, and Jordan, and I even met Marco too. Yeah. So these are all like very creative dudes, right? They all have their own style. How has that like been, just like trying to, I guess, like steer the ship when everyone on there is like creative?
It actually helps a lot, honestly, because I think that's the only reason we're at where we're at, is because everybody kind of has their own creative, you know, vision to it. I think we do have a very clear end result as to where we want to get to, and we all know that, and we all know what it takes to get there. So the reason I love my team is because we all know our role, we play it very well, and there's no ego involved. And I feel like that's the only reason why we grow. You know, everybody is such an asset, and it doesn't clash like you think it would with all the different creative minds. Obviously, we fight a lot. That happens. But aside from that, though, I mean, the work gets done. We love each other, and it works out. You know, it's family, honestly, really. That's really what it is.
That's awesome. That's good that you guys are able to like gel like that, because it's not always the easiest, like when you're in creative settings, to like, because everyone has a different approach, right?
Right,
so it's like, and like, it's good that you guys can kind of just work together and understand that that's like the way direction you want to go in, because I feel like it makes it way easier.
Right.
Well, that's cool to know, I guess, like what you are up to now. Yes, where do you see yourself, I guess, like heading towards the end of 2019 and then into 2020?
End of this year, my goal is to kind of close out a couple of new clients, and really just grow the company to a point to where like I can eventually sell it. You know, I'd love to be able to, you know, give what we do to, you know, like a VaynerMedia or even, you know, a Complex or whatever media source that doesn't realize that this niche exists, you know, in regards to advertising and media and stuff. I'd love to be able to, you know, eventually sell the company. So my goal is just really like making sure that we're, you know, moving accordingly so that we can get to that point, and then dropping my clothes, because at the end of the day, that's what this is about. You know, it's the fashion thing. So my goal is getting back to that. Definitely starting to get back into the fashion thing a lot more, for sure.
Very cool. I'm excited to see your clothes. Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited to see what you drop. Thanks. And if anyone else wants to like keep posted on like when you're gonna drop your shirt, your merch, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can follow me at Lord Dilwood, LORDILWOOD, or you can follow the Where's DH page. So that's Where Is DH, and yeah, that'll keep you updated with the bunny and where we at and all the people we work with and all that good stuff. So
very cool. That's awesome. Well, do it. I'm glad I got some clarity on what you do, and I'm excited to see like where you're off to next.
Thank
you for the opportunity.
Really cool. It's fun.
Yeah, definitely. So guys, make sure to stay tuned. Go follow Dilwood on social media, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode.
Boom.
Peace.
Gang. Okay.